this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Essence Magazine, January 2018 edition, starring Maxine Waters, or shall I say Congresswoman Maxine Waters. We're going to talk about in this edition the 2017 year in review, everyone that gave us life in 2017. So we're going to do a recap. It's lit. And then we're going to talk about Kofi, Sarah Bowe, Kamala Harris, Jemele Hill, Issa Rae, and Salone Stephens, and more. So first and foremost, we always read a letter from the editor-in-chief. And so I am currently looking for that. And the editor-in-chief, by the way, is Vanessa DeLuca. So, Vanessa, even though this edition is January 2018, it looks like they're reflecting back on 2017, such as her a letter from the editor, Vanessa K. DeLuca, My Year-End Message to You. I don't think many of us will ever forget the events of 2017. We heard Auntie Maxine Waters reclaim her time and call out the president on numerous offenses, watch sports figures around the world take a hashtag take a knee in protest of police brutality and social injustice, viewed everyday people rallying against the scourge of white supremacy in Charlottesville, Virginia, and saw our humanity laid bare as citizens and celebrities launch recovery efforts in the aftermath of devastating hurricanes and other natural disasters. We cheered as a record number of black and brown people were honored at the Emmys. We bobbed along as Janet Jackson, Escape, and Diana Ross triumphantly returned to the concert stage, reminding us all of what we'd been missing. We tuned in as more outspoken black women launched talk shows and podcasts, and that's just a sliver of the spectacles we bore witness to. No matter how many twists and turns came our way in December, or in the past 12 months, I should say, the good news is that we're still keeping the faith, using the power of our voices and the courage of our convictions to advocate for our best interests, whether that means running for local office, fighting for social change, starting a new business, pursuing higher education to improve economic mobility for ourselves and our families, or simply choosing to take a moment for some much-needed self-care. None of us can predict what 2018 is going to bring, but I hope that you feel encouraged as I do by the ways in which we are wielding our power in boardrooms and courtrooms, at city halls and on city streets, in social media and on movie and TV screens across this country and around the world. As the saying goes, we are the ones we've been waiting for. Know that your Essence family will continue to be here for you, uplifting our stories and celebrating the best of who we are and who we hope to be. From all of us here at Hashtag Black Girl Magic headquarters, we wish you a wonderful, prosperous, and peaceful new year. Stay in touch, Vanessa K. DeLuca. She always has such inspirational letters, you know, to talk to the viewers about. So on to our first article that we have. It's going to go from Scenes, or we're going to take it from Scenes. Double take. Same NOLA, same lovers. The digital generation discovers Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It. So in 1986, She's Gotta Have It filmed in 12 days in Fort Greene, Brooklyn for $175,000, launched the career of a 29-year-old New York University film school. and his film school grad was Spike Lee. So he's controversial for its, it was controversial for its time, the sexy comedy centered on Nola Darling dating three lovers simultaneously, exercising sexual freedom stereotypically reserved for men. Nowadays, dating apps like Bumble seem to have made that lifestyle a little less scandalous. But Netflix, She's Gotta Have It series, modernized for millennials, proves there's still a double standard when it comes to sleeping around. Black sexuality and eroticism are still so unseen and so infrequent, says DeWanda Wise, who portrays 2017's Nola Darling on the show, which debuted on November 23rd, 2017. Social media has made it even more apparent how much policing of women's bodies and the issue of the Madonna versus Jezebel complex continue to exist. I applaud women, and I feel I feel like I'm one of them for being like, we're still having all this stuff being thrown at us, but I got a love to live, or I got a life to live, but it's for sure still being thrown our way. Spike Lee, who directs the entire She's Gotta Have It series, has gone on record saying he regretted an unnecessary rape scene in the original film. Female screenwriters Issa Davis, Rada Blank, Joey Lee, Lynn Notich, and others lend a central woman's perspective that the movie lacked. We definitely needed various voices for this project, Lee says. The movie was 86 minutes. This is 10 episodes. We had a lot more time to delve into her character. Nola's main suitors are narcissistic, a bumpy, and an eccentric. They all know about one another's presence in her life, which differs from the average millennial managing her own carousel of Tinder hookups. I'm sure women in the 80s could go about living their lives with less transparency. Wise says, I feel like most people today and are seeing multiple people at once. But I don't know if they're as forthright as Nola. She's moving toward a level of honesty that's really quite startling. Soul Shelter. Former Essence editor-in-chief Monique Greenwood turns hospitality into TV gold. Once upon a time, circa 2001, Monique Greenwood traded in her corporate stripes to pursue her dreams full time. Fast forward to today, she, along with her husband, Glenn Pogue, owns and operates a bed and breakfast inn. The pair have locations in Brooklyn, Washington, D.C., Cape May, New Jersey, and the Noble Lane Mansion in the Poconos, which is in Bethany, Pennsylvania. The latter, which she calls the crown jewel, was once a Woolworth estate and now serves as the backdrop for the new own reality series Checked In, which premiered November the 21st, 2017. Greenwood pays attention to detail and makes everyone feel welcome. From the celebrity guest, think Kerry Washington and Taraji P. Henson, to the overworked couple in need of recharge. We treat all our guests like stars, she says. I want them to feel affirmed and renewed. So whatever baggage they bring with them, we invite them to leave without it. It's about joy. So on to some more talk about the recapping of 2017. Number one, that movie Get Out, looks like they grossed more than $250 million worldwide. Number two, Two Dope Queens, which is a podcast. You have comedians Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson chopped it up and celeb guests and each other about dating dramas and everything other hilarious thing. Then you have the girls' trip, which is on DVD. So you had the Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett, Tiffany Haddish, and Regina. On the clear, or the summer clearly, after Girls Trip scored a whopping 125 plus million at the box office, followed by its October digital release, which rumored about the sequel, and to quote Tiffany as Dina, "We ready." Then you had the women in hip hop, Cardi B and Remy Ma. Remy Ma gave us chills last February when she released Sheether, the heat-tinged diss track of the decade. Then her former love and hip hop star, Cardi B, hit number one with Bodak Yellow, proving that ladies still reign. And then another podcast, you had The Mogul, The Life and Death of Chris Lighty, hosted by podcast master Combat Jack. This series explores the highs and lows of the Bronx-born self-made man, Chris Lighty, who left us all too soon in 2012. On cable, you had Insecure. Now that we've processed season two's adventures, we can hardly wait for more from our girls. Molly, which is played by Yvonne Orji, Issa, played by Issa Rae, Tiffany, which is played by Amanda Seals, and Kelly, played by Natasha Rothwell. As far as for music, you had SZA on her addictive debut, Control. SZA dove into the emotions that drive us mad just before we go back and try once more. For streaming, you had The Master of None, co-penned by ever-talented star and now Emmy winner Lena Waithe. The epic Thanksgiving episode still gives us so many chills. As far as for music, you had 444, Jay-Z with his new album 444, the multi-hyphenate did what legends do, reflected, inspired, and cemented his legacy. The Friends Influence video for Moonlight, starring Hollywood's new class, sealed the deal. And then you had Whitney, Can I Be Me, the rocky road to Whitney Houston's demise, was detailed in Showtime's gripping doc. And then another documentary was The Defiant Ones, an HBO's feature directed by Alan Hughes. Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine illustrated that building an empire requires consistent hard work. And as I stated before, that looks like the essence that they're doing, even though this is January 2018 edition, they're doing a recap of 2017. Another part of scene is the exclusive book excerpt. We Didn't Do Better. So in this postscript of her New York Times bestseller, outspoken humorist Lovey Ajayi reflects on the tumultuous period in our nation's history. What a difference 2 years can make. I turned in the full manuscript for this book in October 15th, 2015. When I set out to write I'm Judging You, I wanted to create something that was both timely and timeless. But I didn't know how timely this book would be until we, the people of the United States, elected a walking Cheeto to the highest office in the land on November 8th, 2016. Back then, I didn't think I'd need to fight the air every time I heard the president's name. And I didn't wake up in the cold sweats wondering what war we've been tweeted into. When I wrote the chapters, Racism is for A-holes and the Privilege Principle, I had no clue that Nazis were going to make a surging comeback and take to the streets of Charlottesville holding tiki torches. That's so Germany 1938. But that's what happens when a squirrel wig wearing subpar dude bro ends up in the most powerful position in the country and spends his entire time in campaign and in office sending racist dog whistles to his base of deplorables. Hitler has ushered in an era when members of the KKK are feeling confident enough to leave their robes and hoods at home. When I wrote the chapter on dumb bed or Yes, dumb bed, down news. I surely wasn't privy to how the spread of fake news as fact would help in such a concrete way to elect the Fanta fascist into office. The people who voted for him did so having read untrue things about his accomplishments, and he adopted fake news as a random call to arms whenever he disagrees with someone or something. Just because you yell fake news does not mean it's real. Mop bucket. I'm mad that happen and that we have a whole country of people with no discernment. I have no love for those who consider themselves good people, but stand idly by as the world crumbles around them. It's not enough to personally not do damage. If you're present as someone else destroys what's around you and you do nothing, you help them. Everyone lets themselves off the hook by saying, well, it wasn't about me who did it, or it wasn't me who did it, but you were there. And what did you do to stop it? You sleep better at night knowing it wasn't you who made that racist, homophobic, isophobic, or Islamophobic jokes, but you were there when they happened. I wanted this book to be timely, but I wish it wasn't so relevant because it means that we are failing on massive scales. But this dumpster fire we find ourselves in feels wholly unnecessary. It feels like it could have been avoided, but maybe not. Maybe it is necessary. This feels like a reckoning. That was a powerful excerpt. 10 things that we're talking about. Number one, the new face of college football. Maria Taylor knows her sports as a student at the University of Georgia. She was a 3-time All-SEC talent in basketball and volleyball. Now she's the new reporter for ESPN's College Game Day and ABC's Saturday Night Football. That makes her the first African-American female reporter for both shows and positions her to become one of the fastest rising stars in sports casting. I remember how important it was for me to see someone who looked like me working in sports. Broadcasting. It's a great responsibility and an honor to hopefully be the same person or hopefully be the same person for a young girl watching sports now. Taylor tells Essence. Number two of the trending topics that we're talking about is a mental timeout. In a divided America, Angela Rose Black, PhD, is making sure those fighting for racial justice are taking care of their mind and body. Last year, the former academic launched Mindfulness for the People, a social change agency in Madison, Wisconsin, that conducts training to alleviate racial battle fatigue experienced by those in the Black community. Number three, doing it for the culture. Though Black Lives Matter is often recognized for its anti-police brutality message, Activist New York, a permanent exhibition at the Museum of the City of New York, is showcasing a comprehensive view of the movement. Racial Justice Today, the movement for Black Lives 2012 to 2017, uses photos, pamphlets, and posters to connect guests to the full scope of BLM's work. Number four, driving the future. Ride-sharing company Lyft is putting diversity at the forefront of its next initiative in partnership with Udacy, an online resource that offers certification and job-ready skills. The San Francisco-based transportation network is providing scholarships to minorities who want to develop self-driving cars. The program is designed to invite people of color into the STEM learning and creation space. Number five, saving Black babies. The Baltimore City Health Department is seeking to give Black newborns the same chance to survive as white babies. In in the Baltimore for Healthy Babies Community Doula Program. The Maryland municipality is teaching doulas to assist mothers during pregnancy and delivery and afterward. Nationally, black infants experience a mortality rate 2.3 times higher than that of white infants. Number six, I'm writing this to ask for your help in the relief efforts, but I'm also asking you not to forget about the Virgin Islands and others in the Caribbean. The news of the storm may fade for the headlines, but there are still real people there, good people who need your goodwill and who will never forget your generosity. And that quote was by former NBA player and St. Croix native Tim Duncan in an emotional letter after Hurricane Irma devastated the U.S. Virgin Islands. Number seven, a helping hand. When Hurricane Harvey swept through Houston, K.C. Fox, the founder of Dallas, the Lady General Foundation, set up Helping Houston, an organization that deployed 25 vehicles, including a mobile barber and beauty RV, to the battered Gulf region just days after the storm made landfall. Since then, the group has reportedly delivered more than 3 million in goods and services to the area. Number eight, black people, you better get controversial. You better be controversial. You had better call it like it is. We have been shut down because others have defined us. When they said to us about 10, 15 years ago, oh, she's playing the race card, you should say, yeah, and I got a lot more I'm going to play. And that quote was by Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, addressing a crowd at a town hall during the 2017 Congressional Black Caucus. Number nine, inclusive learning. Spelman College has announced that starting in the fall of 2018 of this year, students who identify as transgender women will be allowed to enroll at the all-female HBCU. This is considered a huge step for trans awareness and equality and comes after the liberal arts school transformed a task force to address admissions policies as they relate to an evolving understanding of gender. And finally, number 10, a home for history. This in December, Mississippi opened two new museums to commemorate its bicentennial. One is the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum, documenting the struggle for racial equality in the Southern Territory, primarily from 1945 to 1976. The Black Power Movement, Freedom Riders' arrests, and the deaths of Emmett Till are all included in the space's eight thematic galleries. So moving on to another article. Money and Power Special, Paying It Forward. So after decades of support from black women, Richelieu Davis is giving back. And I don't know if you have heard yet, but Richelieu Dennis, he actually owns Essence Magazine now. So that's awesome. It says that Richelieu Davis, or Dennis, the co-founder and head of Sundial Brands, will have more than his hair care empire on his mind. The man behind Shea Moisture, Nubian Heritage, and Madam C.J. Walker Beauty Culture and his team are launching a major crowdsourcing effort through the website Indigo to help fund the most underserved demographic of entrepreneurs in the nation, black women. Here he takes us through his own personal journey and explains why this campaign matters now. So there are some questions that Essence asked him, and then he responds to the questions, such as, how did your business begin? So he says, I started Sundial Brands with my college roommate, Naima Tubman, and my mother, Mary Dennis. We made soaps developed from and inspired by my grandma, Sophie Tucker's recipes in my Queens, New York apartment, and began selling them on the streets of New York City. Although the company was started out of a need to survive, it was built based on a mission not only to assist others, but also to prosper and thrive. It took 16 years to get your products onto the shelves. Did you ever think about throwing in the towel? His response is never. I have witnessed Black-owned companies, some of their folks stood beside me in Harlem selling their goods and igniting global trends close because larger ones and in infinitely more resources capture the market and put them out of business. I have dedicated myself to ensuring that it is not our destiny. We simply cannot afford to give up. What advice do you have for business owners pushing through major professional challenges? His response is, as the co-founder of a test, fail, learn, and grow organization, I've never been afraid of making mistakes. Learning from both our mistakes and our successes is how we've gotten here. We hope other entrepreneurs will do the same and build on our accomplishments and our philosophy of doing things differently. Not for the sake of being different, but for the opportunity to achieve what has not been done before. Can you tell me about your new initiative via Indiegogo? His response is, we're working with women of color nationwide to create their own crowdfunding campaigns to raise money from the community. Their ideas will be reviewed by a panel of experts from various fields, including entrepreneurship, retail, publishing, entertainment, and beauty. Our program will have 6 winners. Shea Moisture will award 1 grand prize winner, $50,000, and 5 runner-ups, $10,000 each. This is in addition to the dollars they receive from Indiegogo backers. The final question was, why is this campaign so important? His response is, women of color are establishing businesses at a record rate, but those ventures are also struggling at a record rate. That's often due to a lack of access to capital. Minority-owned companies are denied loans at 3 times the rate of white-owned businesses and have less equity than white-owned businesses. We want to break down those barriers and explore other means so Black women can finance their dreams. So it looks like that we're going to stop here. And then, of course, next week, we're going to go over Maxine Waters. Looks like they have an article on her strictly, and we're going to, you know, cover that for next time. So be sure, you know, make sure that you're listening next time. I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.